a red top hat with a black feather on one side. I turned it by the brim nervously. "You've left some pretty big shoes to fill, Zan." I spoke into the brim. I felt the hug tighten around me. My whole family poured out words of encouragement at once. I felt the numbness in my heart start to melt away. Tears rolled down my face for the first time I could remember. I felt safe, warm, and loved.
"Not my fault!" Sam cried out in a desperate reflex. Terry blinked at her repeatedly, his eyes getting wider every time. He spoke more to himself than to Sam.
"So, this is what murderous rage feels like. No wonder my wife takes those classes."
"Not my fault?" Sam questioned, thinking Terry had lost the plot and his thoughts.
Corner store floor isn't the worst place to die, I guess.
It's not exactly at the top of her list, though. A bedraggled Virginia sits in the slough of bodily fluids, thickly coating the old cropped carpet. Most of the blood, septic-smelling entrails, and otherwise unidentifiable globby wet masses of flesh on the floor aren't hers, to be fair.
"Switching from blazer rounds."
Tape Deck's voice echoed around the ship as it automatically connected to the audio enhancement system from his proximity to the bridge. His relentless firing stopped when he got to work reconfiguring his left forearm. Captain Diaz took the opportunity to lay down more covering fire.
"Go easy with the fire on my ship."
Spanner's voice joined Tape Deck's as his desperate concern echoed from various speakers. Diaz looked to the webbed-up access hatch, presuming the pilot had been shut off from the main room. Another crazed spider succumbed to Nail's slaver pole when she thrust into its abdomen as it rose to attack.
"I'm ready. I think I'll have some good choices." Freddy's smile didn't drop, didn't falter. Next to her mother sat a man with blonde hair and familiar orange eyes, Brydian Nemo, the firstborn son of the Duke of Nemo. Freddy's grandfather was at the head of the table, with a gray beard that reached his chest and a bald head. Like everyone else in the room, he was in one of those loose-fitting outfits of summer. It didn't match the winter winds outside. The crowd turned. You could hear it in their groans. "That's okay. I don't think anyone from Max Flick has either," I quipped. And that would be my second viral moment of the week. I stopped interviewing Daniel after that. I threw it open to the fans who asked various questions, but I could tell my one jab took the spirit out of him. When our time was up, he took a bow to mixed applause.
"If you don't answer me, I will gladly accept a chin hair for the pleasure of torturing you." Why did my boss just fire me at 8 o'clock in the morning on a day when I'm out on PTO? Terry's little eyes darted back and forth, avoiding Mog's gaze. "Hypothetically, she might have called you with a work question while you were out on PTO, which is totally rude, by the way."
The words sit between us like something volatile, something waiting for the slightest spark to blow the entire room apart. My heartbeat climbs into my throat, my palms warm with the beginning tremor of magic, and I take a step back because if I don't put space between us, I might lose the thread of what I'm demanding. What choice? My voice is sharper than I intend, but I don't soften it. What did they choose for me? Stop dancing around it.